great example the Old Testament gives in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Because, see, many times we're afraid of things we shouldn't be afraid of. I asked some people on Facebook this week what their fears were, and to either message me or comment on the picture. And some of the things we got was pretty standard and normal. But then we got some things from especially believers that are just troubled. And you're like, oh, come on, man. We are so often afraid of things that will never happen or never be. And then so often we're afraid of things that I think perhaps we should certainly not fear, maybe to an extent. Welcome. Like persecution, right? So many people are afraid of persecution. So many people are afraid of struggle and trial and tribulation. Yet the Bible says that it is in that persecution, it is in that trouble and trial that we actually grow, that our faith grows. So in that instance, we fear something that is beneficial to us. How about this one? This was a common one, and certainly I think all of us have feared this, and I understand it naturally, I think, to have a fear of death. I don't know if it's dying so much as the fear of unknown, you know, what happens next. I think that is a very natural fear that we do have and all are going to experience. But yet the Bible tells us that to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. And if we're really longing for Jesus Christ and we understand that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, then we have to understand that even in dying, it would be beneficial. So that's another example of something that we're afraid of that perhaps we shouldn't be. 1 Samuel 17 tells us a very familiar story, that of David and Goliath, a story we've heard forever. I'll refresh your memory if you haven't. It seems there was a giant of a man, the Philistine, who was wreaking havoc on the Israelite army, and no one would face him. And every day he'd come out and challenge all of Israel and say, if just one man would come face me, but no one would. Certainly the giant was something to be afraid of. And yet there was this little shepherd boy named David, who was tending sheep and in that taking care of his responsibilities. And his brothers were off to war, and his dad sent him to take care of them, to take some food and message and comfort to them. And when David gets to where his brothers are, he sees this giant of a man, this Philistine, this Goliath, and he sees him challenging Israel, and he sees him really challenging God, and he sees that no one will step up to him. And here's David, who the Bible tells us is just a shepherd boy, and even of stature, was, because of the story, you know, not that big of a fellow, yet must have a really big heart. Because David couldn't understand why all of Israel, even its king itself, was so fearful of a giant. Perhaps David could see something they couldn't, but remember how it goes. David comes to the king, says, I'll fight him. I'll fight this giant. They suit him up in the armor, and the armor itself was just too much. Many times the things of this world that we often need are just too much. You know, that reminds me, as David's putting on the armor and it begins to get heavy and weigh him down, he's like, I can't fight in this. You know what verse that reminds me of? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know what David needed to defeat Goliath? You know how the story goes. He needed faith. His faith needed to be bigger than his fear. And for all the other people, all the other Israelites in the army, their fear was bigger than their faith. David, on his journey to go meet Goliath, we know picks up 5 smooth stones and takes them and puts them in his pocket and carries them with him. And he stands before Goliath, and we know how it goes. Goliath, this giant fear, laughs at David and mocks him and teases him, many times like our own fear. You know why we're so afraid? Because that fear is so vocal. Maybe not physically. Nobody ever heard the fear of computers screaming at them, right? But yet mentally, it is so vocal. Spiritually, that our phobias, our fears sometimes are so loud that we can't hear anything else. And here was that Goliath, that giant, looking at David and proclaiming his power. And you know what he's trying to do? Instill fear in him. Yet David's faith was greater than his fear. And we know the story. David took one of those stones and he put it in his sling and he whirled that thing and he slung it. Hit the giant right in the eye. Wasn't there a song about that we learned in children's church? Hit the giant right between the eyes and he fell. And David goes and takes his head and Israel begins to pursue. Perhaps they just needed a little motivation. Perhaps they just needed an example that faith is greater than fear. But I think the story, the Old Testament story of David and Goliath, is an incredible opportunity for us to look at even how we deal with fear today? Because the truth is, many of us have a Goliath. Many of us have a fear, and it's loud. It's screaming at us. It's vocal. Whatever that fear may be, I hope you're not afraid of computers. If you are, we'll pray for you. But the truth is, there are probably some very real things in our lives we're afraid of. Maybe we are afraid of sickness. Someone told me this week in a message where they were afraid of failure. They're afraid of trying something for fear of failing. Afraid of being sick, afraid of dying, afraid of losing loved ones. Some very, honestly, understandable fears, but yet they have the same effect on us either way. Truly, when we're fearful, let me just give you a list of things that fear does to us. Fear will take away our enthusiasm. When we're afraid, we're just not excited about it. We're fearful and we lose our enthusiasm, whether that's for life or for our marriage or for our job or for serving God. When we're fearful, we also have very unfocused thoughts. All we can often think about is that fear. Fear will many times keep us from interacting with others. It causes us to move into solitude. Fear will keep us from making progress, from getting anything done. As my wife always says, fear is debilitating. It causes people to be afraid. You know, when we watch a scary movie or see something, a scene in something that's depicted where fear is coming, you know, it's like when the bad guy's coming after the people and they just stand there and scream, right? I'm always like, I just don't get it. Why don't you run, you know? But that's what fear does. It literally paralyzes us, keeps us from moving forward, making progress. You know this, that enough fear in our lives and fear being there long enough will actually cause us to commit ungodly behavior. You see, because when we're fearful, instead of doing godly things, we begin to deal with our situations and that which we're afraid of in perhaps worldly manners. And we begin to cope with it in ways that are not godly. And before long, fear has produced ungodliness in our lives. Believe it or not, fear causes health problems. How many of you ever met a worrywart? Fearful, right? Health problems are caused by fear. Abdominable snowman. I'm afraid of the abdominable snowman. Abdominal troubles are often brought on because of fear. And believe it or not, fear can actually lead to premature death. It's costly to us physically, spiritually, emotionally. And perhaps worst of all, fear costs us intimacy with God. Fear costs us our relationship with our Father. And in doing that, the kingdom of God oftentimes suffers just because of fear. You know, I say this, and I'm going to say it again. The greatest problem the lost people have is the church doesn't care. There's so much truth to that. The second greatest problem is the church is afraid to care. The church is afraid of stepping out. The church is afraid of serving, of ministering, of outreaching, of giving. The church is afraid. What if we fail? What if we get ridiculed? What if we face persecution? What we need to remember this morning is that God is not the author of fear. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. I'm going to read from a different version here, but listen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. One version says sound mind. This one says self-discipline. We need to remember today that the only kind of fear God promotes is fear of himself. Fear of God. That's healthy fear. And certainly that's not like scaredy cat fear. But that's reverence of God. That's fear and reverence of who he is, of being in awe of him. That's the kind of fear that God instills in us. Everything else doesn't come from God. So, Pastor, then how do we fight fear? How do we fight fear? Remember when David was standing there against Goliath and wanting to kill him? Remember what I said? That all the things that the king offered him, all the weapons of his carnal warfare were doing no good. Matter of fact, they were hindering him. The one thing David needed, and the one thing from my childhood that I remember about this story, is that it was his faith. It was that in David's situation, in the story of David and Goliath, that faith was greater than fear. It was his faith. So let's talk about it for just a moment this morning. There's a couple things David did that I think we have to learn from. There's a couple things that we have to do once that faith is given to us. And how is faith given to us? Cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The word of the Lord. You know people who are not faithful or don't have faith in their lives? Let's just be honest, probably don't have much scripture. Don't have much the word of the Lord. Don't spend much time with God. Faith is not something that we can, I know we always say exercise or build our faith. That's our way of saying it and understanding it. But faith is really imparted to us. It is given to us from Jesus. That means when we spend time with him, faith is granted. When we spend time in his word and in prayer and in worship, faith is strengthened. It is renewed. It is built. It is given to us. So once that happens, once we have faith, what do we do with it? How do we make something happen? How does that faith become greater than our fear? Isn't it interesting to you that David, the very first thing he had to do was face the giant? He had to face Goliath. He had to recognize that need in front of him, and he had to be the one who was willing to say, I'll go. I'll fight. I'll stand up against him. Many times the only thing keeping us from moving from fear to action, from moving from fear to growth, from moving from fear to that next place God wants to take us, whether it is spiritually, whether it is emotionally, whether it is in our marriage or our finances or in our job, maybe it's a dream or a vision God has given you, maybe it's a ministry God has called us to, the only thing standing in the way of moving from fear to action is just facing that fear, just calling it out. Recognizing it, standing up against it, becoming self-aware of it, opposing that fear. Instead of letting fear run alongside us and be vocal in our lives, we need to oppose it as David did. David stood and said, I'll fight you. You big, ugly giant. I'll fight you. He had to face it. And that's the first thing that we have to do. The story of David and Goliath gives us some other things we have to do. Secondly, is we have to remember what God's done for us. Recall the past. Remember the battles God's given. Remember the fear that we've overcome. Read with me verse number 34 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. And the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Many times what we need to do in face of fear is remember the victories God's given us. Remember the battles we've won. Remember what God has done. We often look at David and we think of how him conquering Goliath certainly is the story that gains the most notoriety and fame. But when I was pretty small and learning this story, I was actually almost as impressed with the fact that David killed a lion and a bear, much less a giant dude. I mean, I was like, you kidding me? Did we skip over the part where this kid killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands? That's pretty impressive. And the things that God has done in our life, you know what, are pretty impressive. The battles you fought and overcome are incredible. You know, sometimes I look at my life, every once in a while I see this posted on Facebook or see a picture of it, and I'm just like, man, that is me. The very fact that I'm alive today, the very fact that I made it to 41 is an incredible testament to God's protection, his provision, his power, his purpose. You know, the fact that you're here today is a testament to God's protection, his provision, his power, his purpose. Because God has brought us through anything. God has conquered fear in our lives. Many things we don't even know how we made it through. I don't know how we survived it. Yet God has taken care of us. I took Shelby to the doctor this week and had an incredible time visiting with her. We were talking about things from our childhood and growing up, and we're talking about trouble we got into. Shelby's quite the troublemaker, by the way. We already knew that, didn't we? And I shared with Shelby one of the stories of my troubled youth when I'd been drinking one night and rolled my mom's vehicle and went to the hospital. You guys know some of my testimony. The thing that I guess I'd never thought about until that van ride with Shelby, and I thought, I really have no clue what happened that night. I have a big scar in my head. I have five big scars between my shoulders. I have pictures to prove how ugly that was that night. But I have no clue how I survived the wreck. I have no clue how physically I have the scars on my... I just don't know. Isn't it incredible? Many times some of the things God has brought us through, the protection he's given, are things we probably aren't even aware of. But just to be able to look and say, I survived that. I lived through that. I lived to fight another day. I'm still here. It's a testimony to God's protection and provision, his power and his purpose. And that's what David did. He said, look at this. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. This Philistine too will be no trouble. Recalling what God's done. Remembering where God's brought you through. Where God's brought us from. Every time we sing that song, From the Day, I go back to the day. It's not just a song I sing. I go back to the person I was, the broken, miserable wreck of a person I was. And I go back to the point where from that day, he saved me. He set me free. And I remember that. And it is those victories God has given us. It is those experiences, it is those battles that encourage us to fight on. And David recalled that. And because of that, went past his fear. It's more than that, too. Read with me verse number 38. We have to also realize, we've talked about this, that we can't fight the world's way. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put the coat of armor on him, bronze, and fastened a sword over him. But David had trouble walking around because he was not used to it. And he said, I cannot go in these. I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Took what he was used to. Took what he knew. Took what he was comfortable with. I wonder how much difference the weapon of prayer would make in our lives if we were used to prayer. I wonder how much difference the weapon of God's word would make in our lives if we were used to it. If it was comfortable to us. If it was what we knew. See, oftentimes we go to what we know. And if fear is what we know, that's where we go. If frantic running around is what we know, that's where we go. If we knew God's word, if we knew prayer, I wonder if we wouldn't go there more often. We have to realize we cannot fight in the world's way. But rather, God has given us resources. God had given David resources. Resources that maybe somebody else had. You know, I can't help but think that in all of that army of Israel, I've always thought this, even when I was little, I had this question. How come there was nobody? Are you telling me no one else could have slain Goliath? Was there not one person who God would have used? Was there not one person who God had given resources? Was there not one person that God had previously provided for and they had fought battles? Was there no one? Or was there just no one in that whole army whose faith was greater than their fear? You see, I believe that God would have used any of those Israelites. I believe this. But none of them had a faith greater than their fear. All of them allowed fear to paralyze them. All of them allowed the loudness of fear, its constant voice, the fear of what they were standing up against to paralyze them. Perhaps some said, you know what, I really believe. After all, we've seen, right? We've seen God's provision. The Israelites knew the story of God's provision. They knew the story of coming out of Egypt. They knew the story. Perhaps it was just not willing to face that giant. Oh, we got the faith, but now we have to act on it. We have to act on it. We can't allow fear to paralyze us. We must realize we can't fight in the world's way. David goes out and he slays the giant with weapons he's comfortable with weapons he's used to, and get this, weapons he had practiced with. You know, I think about being a shepherd boy and in that day and age, and David had a sling and he had the stones. I mean, you know, when he picked up those five stones, that wasn't the first time he had gathered stones in his hand. That wasn't the first time he had stuck stones in his pocket. When he slung that sling and nailed Goliath between the forehead, that wasn't the first time he had done that. Matter of fact, I must think as a little shepherd boy sitting out watching the sheep. Now, I've had sheep growing up. I grew up on a farm. And there's only so much you can do when you're tending flock, right? And certainly there's a lot of work and a lot of effort to it. But there's also a lot of downtime. And I just have to think. See, when I was a little kid, we had some slingshots, but technology had advanced, and I had a BB gun. And let me tell you something. I practiced and practiced and practiced. Please don't turn me into PETA. I was a bird-killing dude in my younger days. That verse I mentioned earlier haunts me, that a sparrow doesn't fall that God doesn't know about. That haunts me. Hundreds, yeah. The fear of God, knowing how many sparrows I took. Sparophobia. I think of David and in his downtime. What do you think he was doing? He was practicing. You know, we had one rule at my house when it came to guns. You grew up in the country in the farm, you knew this. Don't shoot the cows. Everything else is open game, all right? But don't shoot the cows. Or your brothers. But don't shoot the cows was more important. I think David was practicing. I think, you know, he may even hit a sheep once or twice just to see. But I think he was training himself. That's why when the time to fight Goliath came, he went to what he was comfortable with. He went to what he was used to. He went to where his training was. He went to the area that he knew he was good at. He used his gifts. He used his ability. He used his resources. He used what God had given him. And he slayed that giant. He went over and he took his head. And that was motivation for the rest of the army to go and to fight, to press on, to pursue the Philistines, to run them off, to win literally that battle. Verse number 52, read this with me. And when David had done that, when David had did it, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Fear turns and runs. And then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout, and they pursued the Philistines. The last thing we have to do when we face fear is get up and go. Go on with your life. Rise and move. Something that I've said the last couple weeks, and I say it repeatedly, and it's just been something you may have heard me say it. I've said it to my kids. I say it to myself. But it's go and grow. You know, when something happens in life that we don't like, go and grow. Learn from it. Just keep moving. Go and grow. Allow the circumstances of this life, allow the lessons and the persecutions and the struggles and the trials and the hardships of this life to help us become better. When we face those things, just keep going and growing. Go and grow. David fought the Philistine and he won. And when Israel saw it, the Bible says they pursued the army with a shout. Now they had confidence. Now they began to move forward, and they defeated them, ran them off, conquered their fears. I want to encourage you this morning, in the face of fear, face it. In the face of fear, remember what God has done for you. In the face of fear, remember that it's not the weapons of this world that are going to work often. It's faith that's greater than fear. In the face of fear, go and grow. Just keep moving. Don't allow fear to paralyze us. The problem with that is Satan uses fear, and he's really good at it. See, we can hear this good message. We can know what David did. We can hear all this. We can come to church, but Satan's really good at using fear. He uses the possibility of the future, of what may happen. He uses the potential of failure. He uses the certainty of criticism, what may happen. And you know, I've mentioned today all the fears and phobias and the things that we're afraid of. But I think the greatest fear that strikes the church today, and because of this fear, we're afraid of a lot of other things. But that's the fear to stand up and be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's the fear to serve in the kingdom. It's the fear of committing to God and doing for the kingdom. It's the fear of witnessing. I'm not asking that we stand up and behind a pulpit in front of a crowd and preach the gospel. But yet, rather, it's the fear of even sharing our faith with someone. For all these reasons, what will it cost me? Am I going to get criticized for it? Am I going to do it wrong? Am I going to fail at it? All of those things. And because of that fear, I think many times our unwillingness to do what we are called to do, our unwillingness to do our greatest calling, our unwillingness to do what comes natural and easy and our real God-given talent, because after all, isn't sharing the message of Jesus Christ just living out before others? Isn't it just being an example? Isn't it just telling my story? Telling what God has done for me? How natural should that come? How easy should that be? Yet the fear of it, I think, reproduces fears in other areas of our lives. I want to give you a couple verses today, three verses, and then we're going to close. These three verses, I think, are powerful in helping us overcome fear, whatever it may be. Philippians 4:13, we all know it, says what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When we're afraid, when we're standing in opposition to fear, when we're worried, when doubt comes in, I can do all things. And you know what we say about that verse. It's not about really doing. It's about enduring. I can take all things, is what it says. I can overcome all things. I can conquer all things. You know what this verse says when fear stands in front of us? I can do this. Philippians 4:13 tells me, I got this. I got this. I think of a little shepherd boy standing in front of a giant saying, I got this. I got this. Why? Because Philippians 4:13 tells me so. Romans 5:15-13, I'm not giving you anything you haven't heard before, but things that I hope, write down, think about these. If you struggle with fear of any kind, think about these, learn these, hide the word in your heart. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine when we face the fears of this world, how much different it'd be if we knew the God of hope had filled us with all joy? If we knew that peace came in as we trusted in him? If we knew that we were overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? Romans 15:13. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says this, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. What that's saying is that when we are weak, God is strong. When we are fearful, guess what? God is that much stronger. God is that much more able in our lives. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. What God is saying is when you are most afraid, I am most there. For it is in your weakness that I'm made strong. That's when God's got our back. That's when we should stand on his word and know. 2 Timothy 1:7, for I've not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you something, is what it says. I've given you the gift of love. I've given you the gift of love. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Let me say that again. Perfect love drives out fear. What does perfect love look like, Pastor? Looks like this. The big two. That's what perfect love looks like. See, it's not just a slogan we say or a writing on the wall or something we scream at the end of service. Perfect love looks like loving God with all your heart, strength, and soul. And loving people the same. Can you imagine this? The more we love God, the less fear we will have. The more we love God, the less fear we have. Why? Because it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of knowing God will take care of us. It's a matter of experiencing his love. And that love relieves our fear. And then get this, the more we love others, the less fear we'll have. How does that work, Pastor? Well, let's say I'm afraid to share the gospel with a coworker because of what might happen. Listen, when our love for that broken coworker outweighs our fear of what might happen, we share the gospel. Well, Pastor, you know, it's hard for me to give to missions. It's hard for me. When our love for people who are dying and going to hell is greater than our fear on our own financial circumstances, we're givers. Loving God and loving people removes the fear in our lives. It's not just a slogan. It really is the greatest of all commandments. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this too. God didn't only give us love, but he gave us a sound mind. The second version I read to you translates that into self-discipline. You see, conquering fear is a matter of self-discipline. Conquering fear is a matter of dependence on the God we can trust in. It's a matter of knowing his word and believing that word. It's a matter of remembering the promises, remembering the victories. It's a matter of not believing the enemy in his pitiful attempts to scare us into missing what God is doing, into missing God's power, into forgetting that God has given us a spirit of love and sound mind, not one of fear. I'm going to close reading 2 Timothy 1 and 7 again, but I want to read it because so many times you say, Pastor, why are we talking about witnessing and salvation and missions and money on a message of fear? Because so many times we focus on just 2 Timothy 1, 7 and what that says. That's our catch verse, you know. For God's not given us the spirit of fear. That's a bumper sticker slogan right there. And we use it to encompass all things. We do. But a couple weeks ago, we preached a series called Out of Context, remember? I want to look at the context of what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. I want to look at the verses around it and see what God is really doing. Let's start at verse number 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind or self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to live a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. You see, we can use 2 Timothy 1:7 as a great confidence builder when it comes to fear. When we're afraid of something, when something comes up in our lives and the enemy attacks us and we get fearful, I want you to use 2 Timothy 1:7. I want you to know that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but rather one of love and sound mind. But when we're really going to say what is God truly and completely saying to us in this message, it is really about fanning the flame of what God has done in our lives. It is really about joining, as Paul said, with him in suffering for the cross and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. You know what it's really about? It's about somebody else. It's about others. Here's the problem with fear. Fear is always about me. Fear is always about me. I'll admit to watching a few zombie shows in my day, strictly for research on a sermon I did once. You know, the thing that cracks me up is when somebody's being chased, pick your monster, right? Whatever it is. Zombies, Frankenstein, kids, whatever your monster is. Isn't it interesting that when two people are running and they're afraid, it always happens in the horror movies. You see, I don't have to be faster than the monster. I just have to be faster than that guy, right? So if I can trip him and he becomes lunch, I'm okay, right? Isn't it interesting that fear is always about me? It's always about what can I do? What can I get? What's going to happen to me? What's this going to cost me? How am I going to come out on the other side of it? When the reality is, because the enemy's so good, fear is never about you. Fear is about hindering you from the promises and the purpose and the power God's instilled in you. You know what fear is about? Holding you back Because the enemy knows God can use you to help others, to bless others. Think about it. Let's go back to giving. We're always afraid of how it affects me. Why? Because the enemy knows how it will affect others. Let's go back to testifying. I'm always afraid of how I will do because the enemy knows how that will affect others. Serving in the church, I'm always afraid. Going on a missions trip. You pick whatever it is. And fear is it not always about me? That's because the enemy knows when God uses you, when your faith becomes greater than that fear, it becomes about others. God uses our life. The whole of Israel's army finally got some faith when one little shepherd boy slew the giant. Oh, weren't they some brave men then when a little boy showed them what just a little faith could do? And when you and I show people that faith is greater than fear, it's going to do the same thing. It's going to instill faith in them. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. Certainly, I wanted to do this sermon and talk about fear because I think so often, way too often, we are slaves to that fear. We have some genuine fear in our lives that we're going to come up against. Some of you may be facing some physical things, some doctor's reports, some test results, battling sickness. Maybe the prognosis isn't good. Maybe it's financial, and you look at it, and you think, man, I don't know how we're going to make it. The truth is, there are some very worthwhile things in this life that cause fear. And our initial and immediate response and our natural response is fear. But what we have to do is not allow fear to control us, but rather allow fear to motivate us. Allow that fear to bow to our faith. We have to allow our faith to be greater than our fear. And if you're struggling with something this morning, as we sing the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. I want to help you overcome that fear. And as I said, they're worthwhile. I don't want to take away or negate from the fears we have. Because God cares about those things. He truly does. But I have to say this morning that I really do believe that oftentimes it is the fear of serving in God's kingdom, of doing what God's called and asking me to do on a daily basis, or maybe with my life and my gifts as a whole. I really believe it is that fear that creates the most trouble in our lives, that actually produces and allows room for other fears to grow and stay. I think it is that fear, the fear of fanning that flame, the fear of joining in on the suffering and the persecution for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it is that fear which costs the church and costs you and I the most. And this morning, maybe you're fearful of that. I want to pray with you as well. I want to believe with you as well. Hopefully you've got some scriptures today. I hope you wrote those down. If not, we'll post this sermon online and you can go back. I know someone asked if we can share it. Maybe you know some people who need this message. We want to give you a way to share that with them. If you'd like to listen to it again, we want to help you do that. But remember those verses we've given you. Remember to face your enemy. Remember the past. Remember the victories. Remember what God's brought you through. Remember that the weapons you're going to use are not carnal, but they're rather the gifts and abilities God's given you, those you've trained with, your comfort. It's a weapon to prayer, scripture, worship, it's faith. And then, I can't say it enough, in the face of fear, regardless of what it is, whether it's spiritual or physical, emotional, go and grow. Keep moving. Stand up against that fear and don't let it paralyze you. Don't let it hold you back. Morning, would you stand with me all across this place? We love you guys so much today. We're not slaves to fear, but rather children of God. God's called us to a great purpose, and doing that purpose really does break the chains of fear in so many areas of our lives. Loving God, loving people is not a slogan. It's a fear-breaking, difference-making, life-changing thing. And that's what God's called us to do. So when we get out of here, let's go with a shout. One, two, three. Love God, love people.